de ce qu'on ferait normalement. Normalement, on aurait fait un beau grand discours réfléchi sur l'importance de la démocratie. Mais pour faire l'inverse, on va vous dire un tout petit mot, pas du tout réfléchi, qui n'a pas rapport avec la démocratie. Maringouin. Le 3 octobre, on inverse la tendance. Tout le monde vote. Un message d'Élections Québec.
Hotel The Blues, you're on 90.3 CKUT.
Good evening. It is 6:01. You are listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca, the show about theater on the radio, from drama to musicals to burlesque to comedy and everything in between. Professional, student, and community productions in and around Montreal, the island also known in Ganiagahaga as Chuchage and as Munayang in Anishinaabe, and where we spell theater with an R-E at the end. I'm your host, Sarah DeA, live in studio at CKUT on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. It's the second time that we are doing a live show for the first time since the pandemic. And I'm joined here with Jack, who is our spoken word coordinator. Hello, Jack. And Brian, who's joining CKUT for the first time behind the boards, pushing all the buttons. Good evening, Brian. It's a gray, kind of moody day in Montreal. I just had a short walk and it wasn't too bad out, actually. And we are just hours away from the fall equinox. It is 14 degrees right now. The fall equinox, if you're marking it, is going to be here in about 3 hours and 2 minutes, and then it's officially fall. On tonight's show, my guests include Meet Me, an interactive approach to the Me Too conversation, putting the action and a phone in your hands, the audience. I'm going to speak with co-author and director Rosa Ruby Kagan. And some 7 years ago, Aisha, Sasha, John woke from a dream so vivid, so intense, it propelled her to create a whole new dance show dedicated to the star of her reverie, Diana Ross. And so the show is called Diana Ross Dream. She'll be my guest. And the Clown Festival returns after a 2-year hiatus. Artistic director Vanessa Rigaud joins me to talk about the programming. It includes everything from a history of clowning in Quebec to a performance in a car and lots of other goodies from both here and around the world. And I think we could all use a Clown Festival right about now. Also, to close out the hour, Daniel Caron, take two. We'll find out why Daniel missed my call for last week's show. He is working on a competitive new comedy program coming to Café Clio tomorrow, so we do want to have him on. And to kick off the show, we're going to take a little visit, stay on the McGill campus. CKUT is on University Street. Nearby, next week, at the Morris Hall, there's going to be an immersive, interactive theater experience designed for you to engage directly with the post-Me Too conversation. Director Rosa Ruby Kagan is going to join me. She co-wrote this play with Julia Ainsworth. We meet three people, Gemma, Kaz, and Rosalind, three characters, different ages, different backgrounds. They come together in one night of intimacy that goes wrong. And I'm really curious to know about how they plan to have this all unfold with a smartphone in your hand and three different locations. Rosa Ruby, welcome to Upstage. How are you?
Hi, I'm well. Thank you, Sarah. Hi.
I just want to mention, because it's been a couple of years since we've spoken with you on Upstage, mm-hmm. that you are somebody with an incredible CV, because not only do you direct and you write, but you're also a drama therapist, an actor yourself, you produce theater, and you're a psychotherapist. So, I mean, yes. Where do you find the time?
I know. I'm a mom, too. So, yeah. I don't know.
I was going to add that, actually.
I mean, every one, a section at a time, I guess, you know, compartmentalized, but... I follow my passion, and I think that's what's important in life, and you find little moments throughout each month or day to invest in what's important to you. So,
well, yeah, I'm sure you're going to be at every performance, so if you get a chance to say hi to Rosa Ruby, you can, like, just meeting you, you can see how passionate you are about what you do, and I think it's awesome that's what leads you.
Thank you.
I want to find out about why you want to tackle Me Too in a moment, but let's get into Gemma, Kaz, and Rosalind. Get to know them a little bit more. Tell me about the story and what goes wrong exactly at first.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give too much of the spoilers because I want you to come and see. But basically, there are three professors in the media arts department on a campus. And there's different power dynamics between them. There's an attraction between Gemma and Kaz. And they're all embarking on a creative project together. And basically what happens, there is a moment of intimacy that then Gemma and Kaz have to navigate a choice and how to proceed after that. And the audience is directly involved in making that choice with the actors. It's the branching narrative script. So we've written about, let's say, 500 pages. So there's six scenes in the show. So there's a variety of options that could happen depending on the feedback from the audience. So it's really like putting into question, like, okay, how does somebody make a decision after something, intimate goes wrong? And what choices you make then affect the other people involved? And how do you make that choice? And the audience helps make that choice with the characters. And they all three have a different choice, a different dilemma, depending on, you know, what character you follow.
So truly like a choose your own adventure experience.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The audience follows one character. So they see the whole show through the perspective of that character.
You're a very excellent publicist, Janice, annotated one of her recent updates or notes that go out. I get them by email, and she referenced a recent New Yorker article that is actually by Leslie Jamison that actually talks about the magic of choose your own adventure books, like for younger audiences, and obviously others can read them as well, and how much agency it gives the reader. Is that something you're interested in exploring for the audience member?
Yeah, absolutely. Exploring like agency and like investment. So how, like, if you have more of agency in the story, are you going to become more invested and emotionally connected to the characters? And I think that it's fun, like, to be able to be that intimately involved in a show.
That is the voice of Rosa Ruby Kagan, who is the director and co-writer of Meet Me. It is a collaboration between Live Action Theater Project and Tisri Dunia Theater. It kicks off Tisri's actual season and begins next Thursday here on the McGill campus. I'll have details about where it's happening exactly. There is moving around that happens, so you're not stationary in one space like at the Morris Theater, so you have to be prepared to be walking around. So Rosa Ruby, what intrigued you? What are some of the questions you wanted to answer in talking about the post-Me Too era? Me Too, to catch everyone up, is just this time period that we went through. It's hard to believe it was just before the pandemic.
I know. Yeah, I know. We're
still kind of in that period where we look at people talking about sexual harassment or abuse and power imbalance, and we're still kind of getting around to believing people and trying to figure out what is a sufficient punishment for the people who are misbehaving, so to speak, and like, you know, do they get to come back into society and all that stuff. So what intrigued you?
Well, I think the conversation around these issues are so polarized, right? And so I think what Julie and I were set out to create this show, we talk a lot in theater about, you know, creating conversation about issues, right? But what better is like a way to actually engage in conversations during the show with the audience, hoping that different people will come to the show with hopefully varying views and will be able to kind of dialogue with each other about these issues during the show. So the goal is to try to depolarize people a bit, to think about why somebody might make a choice different from you, to help maybe gain empathy for somebody who might do something very different from your own values, and also put into question exactly what you're talking about, like what the idea of cancel culture, like what the conversation around what is the appropriate punishment and is there forgiveness, should we forgive, how does forgiveness happen, or what is an appropriate reaction to something.
It is set in academia, as you were mentioning, with the three characters, Gemma, Kaz, and Rosalind. And it's going to happen on McGill campus. Why was academia the best setting for this story?
Yeah, well, I think, well, it's interesting. We're in collaboration with the McGill Education Department, who have this amazing SHRC grant. It's called Impacts, Investigating Rape Culture on Campus. On campus. So we are lucky enough to be involved in that project. It went back years ago with Tisri and Julia involved in that, and this was an evolution of a project that was earlier conceived with them. And so we are lucky to be collaborating with them in this, as we got the spaces at McGill to do it, which was perfect because we wanted to have a site-specific place, a piece where you travel between spaces. And so McGill campus is compact, so the audiences can venture pretty freely without having to cross traffic between these different venues.
Yeah, not worrying about the stoplights things like that.
They have a smartphone in their hands, and you don't want them crossing traffic.
let's talk about the smartphone. It makes me think of April Fool's, which was a performance at the Siegel Center last season.
Oh, yeah.
Which was neat, which also involved sexual dynamics, where we have the character falling in love with someone who's not her husband. And so your phone, you got an app on your phone in the audience, and it's beeping and buzzing, and you're getting messages like from him and from her, and it brings you into the live musical in a different kind of way. So what can I expect with Meet Me, with the phone that you give me?
Yeah, exactly. So each audience member is going to be given a phone, and the phone mirrors the character's social media and basically smartphone activity. So you will, anything that the character receives during the show, your audience will also receive, like podcasts, text messages, screenshots, music, and videos that are taken. And we it's kind of like the fourth character, the social media world, because a lot of, you know, exploring these issues, social media is a huge part of that, right? So we wanted to give voice to that as a character, but it's technology.
Oh, wow. And this interesting thing, too, is that you've co-written this with Julia Ainsworth. But when it comes to the stuff that you're going to get on your phone, by stuff, I mean texts and podcasts and videos that you just mentioned, social media posts, that was actually written by a separate third person. So how did that work out in the writing process?
Right. Well, it was such an immense show. We were like, okay, we can't do this all just one person or even two people. Steph worked very much in collaboration with us. We would give her directions and she would bring in her creative ideas. And she wrote the media herself. And then we collaborated a lot on one of the final options, which is a media storm, which everything comes together. So it was really a true collaboration, and she's amazing, very talented. So it was really, co-authored by the three of us, but Julia and I were conceived of the project and wrote the body of the text of the scenes.
I'm just thinking for Stephanie what a challenge it is to kind of craft like a tweet in a Facebook post, and how to make that individualize that to each voice, and how to make it feel authentic.
Exactly. Making all the comments and exactly like pod. She wrote podcasts. She wrote a lot. It's amazing. Yeah.
And then the script itself, you said, was 500 pages?
Yes. 500 pages. Yes.
And that is because we get to
choose. Actors are amazing, having to memorize all these lines.
Right. And because there is that choose your own adventure element, it's so long because you're covering all these different scenarios that you are presenting.
Exactly. And not every variant is completely different. There can be some minor changes. So, it's very technical. It's a very technical show for the actors. Yeah. And we also had the smartphone. We had it specifically programmed for us. So we've been working on it for over a year to create this smartphone app. Yeah.
It is mature content. Obviously, we're dealing with themes of a sexual nature, as they say. So 18 and up. And then what I really love is that there is a discussion afterwards so that you're able to process what you've seen.
Yes, absolutely. We have four amazing master's students from the drama theory department who are going to be facilitating interactive talkbacks after each performance, exactly to process and bring up different things. We have different themes each night. I think there's going to be a few special guest speakers. We're going to hopefully have those posted on our Facebook and the T3 website for the specifics of what night, what topics are going to be covered what night.
Do you hope people will come more than once?
So oh, my goodness, yes. Because they're going to want to... What happens if you make a different choice? What is the outcome?
Right. So, like, every night that you go, you'll get something different. And I love that there's that element of, like, I could go and then my friend will go a different night. We can have totally different experiences. Or we can go the same night and have different experiences.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go to the show and request to follow a specific character. Otherwise, you will be assigned to a character. And you may be divided up with the people that you go. And then you can have fun discussions afterwards about what you saw.
You said that the development of the app took a year. How long have you been working on this project for?
From conception to now, it's been about 4 years. Wow. We started writing probably in 2020, right as after the pandemic hit. But yeah, we've been conceptualizing it for 4 years. Yeah.
And now you're a week from opening. How does that
feel? Oh my God. Yeah. Well, as theater producers know, you're like, oh my goodness, stress, but it's so exciting. I'm just thrilled with how many amazing people we have on our team who are helping to pull together all these elements, from the graphic design to the sound design to the app to the actors to my amazing stage manager Elise, who's just holding it all together. I'm so excited. I hope people come. It's a real treat. It's I feel so blessed to be able to be giving this to Montreal audiences. I hope you come.
Rosa Ruby, I'm looking forward to it, and what an ambitious project. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for interviewing me, Sarah. Have a great night.
That is director Rosa Ruby Kagan. She has co-wrote Meet Me with Julia Ainsworth with contributions from Stephanie Marula. And that show is going to start a week from tonight, Thursday, September 29th, running until Saturday, October the 8th. And this is going to happen on the McGill campus, gathering at TNC Theater 3485 McTavish or Morris Hall. You're going to be traveling on foot three different locations throughout, not too far from each spot to another. So Thursday, September 29th to October the 8th. Tickets 514-848-0238, 848-0238, or you can head online to thepointofsale.com. And obviously, Rosa Ruby hopes you'll go more than once. You have that option. It's $20 to $30 per ticket and 20% off if you're seeing it a second time if you do want to see it. And there's limited seating, so you'll want to head to that ASAP. You can find out more about this company at Live Action Theater Project on Facebook, and also follow Teasri Dunia Theater 848-0238 or teesridunyatheater.com. That's TEESRIDUNIYA theater.com. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah DeAy. It is 6:17. Still to come on the show, comedian Daniel Karen. The Clown Festival is back. But first, we'll speak with Aisha Sasha John and the dream she had that inspired her to create a whole new dance work.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. I'm your host, Sarah Day. We are live back in studio at CKUT. Big thanks to Jack, who's been helping us ease back into live radio. Because I've been pre-taping from my quote-unquote home office for the last 2 years and change, and I'm really excited to be here with you live this Thursday evening as we approach the fall equinox. Now, I'm wondering, have you ever been so inspired by a dream, and you woke up, and you felt like it was a vision that you had to fulfill, and maybe you went on, you did an art project or wrote something or contacted someone you haven't spoken to in a while? My next guest had a dream just like that 7 years ago this summer, and it led her to create her first ensemble piece. We're going to find out more about it. The dream was about Diana Ross, and so the show is appropriately called Diana Ross Dream. It is coming to Montreal next week at the Agora du Cœur des Sciences, and that choreographer and poet is joining me on the line right now, Aisha Sasha John. Welcome to Upstage.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I know you're at the theater right now. You're a week away from opening. What do you have left to do at this moment?
A lot.
Yeah.
We just finished rehearsal. It's been going really well. We're getting deep. We're getting deep into it. But yeah, we're on track, but we're working.
Yeah. It's always so interesting to me to see like what needs to get done. I know this is something you've been working on for a while. That dream that I mentioned happened 7 years ago. Why don't we start there? Because it just sounds like the coolest kind of reverie ever. So tell me about what like kind of came to you.
Yeah, I had a question. I was like really frustrated about something, like a person, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, dream, tell me what to do about this person. And then, yeah, I had a dream of Diana Ross on Broadway. She was in a sea of black dancers. Everybody was wearing rose gold and she was in the center. It was like 50 people, I would say, or like maybe more. It was like a big Broadway stage, like filled with people. And she was herself, but also she was me and I was her. Like I was like almost like an angel on her shoulder. And yeah, and the dream felt like an answer to the question, like who cares about that person? Just like go and do your Diana Ross, like go find a black community of dancers.
Wow, that's a powerful, powerful feeling. And now, Diana Ross for you, the singer icon. Was that someone that you had always been interested in? Someone you loved, or was it kind of random?
So the Diana Ross in the dream is Dorothy from The Wiz.
Okay.
So have you heard of The Wiz?
Yes.
The Wiz.
But tell me about it.
So The Wiz is like the Motown version of The Wizard of Oz. Diana Ross plays Dorothy. Michael Jackson plays the Scarecrow. Richard Pryor is the Wizard. And I actually was in a production of The Wiz in high school, like grade 11. I was the Wicked Witch. And so the music from that play is like really like in me, because especially the Wizard songs, like "Play Around to Meet the Weather," like I really love the Wizard songs. And I actually wrote a show, my solo show was called The Aisha of Iz. At first it was called The Aisha of Oz, and I was like, what's Oz? Like, what is Oz to me? So then I changed it to The Aisha of Iz. And so in that show, Aisha and Wizard were like tantamount, kind of. I was like, how? Because what was interesting to me about The Wizard of Oz is that, like, yes, he's a charlatan. Yes, it's a spectacle, but it's also amazing. And for me, it was like an allegory about performance. Like, yes, it's quote unquote fake, but it's real in as much as it inspires awe. And the other thing about the Wizard is that, like, he, at the end, he grants each of Dorothy's friends their needs, or like, you know, courage and da da da, just by language. He like reframes them, like they're insecure, and he like, actually, you're brave, remember when you did that? And then he gives them like a totemic item. So anyway, I was very interested in that Wizard character, and also in Dorothy's sort of like desire to go home. And I guess at some level, and so now, okay, Diana Ross dream, who's Dorothy to me? Diana Ross, Dorothy's like, yes, this idea of like this image of Diana Ross and Michael Jackson, like easing down the road where he's like, Michael Jackson's so floppy and it's so cute. And like Diana Ross's embodiment, like she's so like soft and like open and she's like so receptive. And I love her energy. It's like so special to me. And their fellowship, just like they're like in this strange land, but they have each other. And that's like what the show is about. It's like it's a all black cast. Mm-hmm. There used to be four of us, like Dorothy and her friends. Now it's like Dorothy and the Scarecrow, two of us. But it's like, yes, it's like they're in the strange land and they have each other. And it's a dance of like, of like togetherness and also like entrancement. Like the show is, the point of the show is to like lose our heads, is like to become entranced, to become buck wild. Like we're working on scores that allow us to really like channel. And so that feels like a way of going home as well, like going home to like a higher self or going home to like surrendering to spirit. So there's a couple ways that like home is like relevant in the work.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's definitely Diana Ross, but it's like Dorothy. It's like the black Dorothy.
It's so interesting to hear that kind of textual reference to The Wiz and how that's influenced you since high school. That is the voice of Aisha Sasha John, award-winning choreographer, as well as artist and poet. And we're talking about Diana Ross Dream. She's actually at the theater right now getting ready. Opening night is just a week away at the Agora de la... Agora de Cœur de Ciel. Sorry?
Is that La Chapelle?
It's at La Chapelle. Thank you. Yes, it is. Oh, dear. I think, you know what? Because I went to a dance show at the Agora last night, and I made two connections to that in my head. But yes, you are at 3700 St. Dominique, which is, I believe, where you also performed one of your more recent works that people might have caught you in from a couple years back, pre-pandemic action movie, which I think got a lot of really good buzz about it. So Aisha, I did want to ask you about your fellow performers. You're talking about Black being together and community as being one of your motivators. Marcus and Devin are the two other people that you're performing with on stage. How would you describe your dynamic together?
It's actually just Devin now. It's just two of us. And he's sitting here right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to talk, and that's cool. He's supporting me.
I mean, you are the conceptrice here. You are the visionary.
Yes. Oh, definitely, definitely. But I was like, do you want to like say anything? He's like, oh hell no. Like,
oh, okay.
I'm just keeping it real. I would say our dynamic is like, it's a lot of things. It's sweet, I think. It's funny. It's like tender. It's serious. Like, I chose all of the dancers that I've worked with because they were people that I could communicate with, mm-hmm. like in an embodied and like psychic way. So I feel like when you see Devin and I, there's a lot of clear like channels of communication happening, and I feel like there's a lot of transparency.
Yeah.
And a lot of like we can read each other, and
I have one time for one last question here, Aisha, and that is that you are a published poet. You have a chapbook out, I Have to Live, and To Stand at a Precipice Alone, and Repeat What Is Whispered, that came out last year. So I'm just curious about how your poetry might influence your dance and vice versa.
Yeah, so they're both listening practices. They're both receptive practices. There is a textual component to this work, but it's all improvised live. So that feels like it has some origin in my relationship to writing for sure. But it's not so much that one poetry and dance are like I put poetry and dance or vice versa. It's more like I use the same strategies to to compose dance as I used to compose writing, which is to like do like deep listening and sort of like await whatever the silence kind of like presents to me. And so, yeah, it's a shared sensibility, I would say, across disciplines.
That's fascinating. Just hearing you speak, I can hear the kind of like poetry in your thoughts. It's awesome. It's been so much fun to get to know you, and I'm really glad that you're presenting this show again. That is Aisha Sasha John, who's going to present Diana Rostream next week. Thank you so much, Aisha.
Thank you.
Diana Rostream comes to La Chapelle Scène Contemporaine next week. Oh my goodness. Until October the 1st. And it's happening at La Chapelle. Tickets 514-843-7738. Regular ticket price is $30 with discount options. You can get your tickets at lachapelle.org as well. And to learn more about Aisha and her work, it is at 3700 St. Dominique. The show is 60 minutes. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're going to get Vanessa Rigo on the line. She's going to talk to us about the Clown Festival. It is back after a two-year break. I think we could all use a clown performance these days. We'll have Vanessa for you in just a moment. Round and round. Instinctively you give to me the love that I need. I cherish the moments with you. Respectfully I say to thee, I'm aware that you're cheating. When no one makes me feel like you do. Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round and round. Upside down, boy, you turn me inside out and round and round. I know you got charm and appeal, you always play the field. I'm crazy to think you're all mine. Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. You're listening to Upstage, the show about theater on the radio. Still to come before the end of the hour, tell you about a competitive comedy show that is launching tomorrow night at Cafe Clio. And I'm really just enjoying that Diana Ross track we were just listening to. Thank you, Jack. That was an excellent selection to close out our conversation about Diana Ross' dream coming to La Chapelle next week. But next, the Clown Festival, a really lovely production that happens in the fall. This is the sixth edition. They took a pandemic break. I think everyone could use some clowning right about now. Vanessa Rigo is artistic director of the Festival des Clowns de Montréal. She joins me on the line. Hello, Vanessa.
Hey, Sarah. I was grooving to that tune, too.
I know, right? It was a great choice by Jack. Tell me about your passion for clowning.
Everybody wants to know why, where, when. It just kind of it kind of hits you. It's like you're not looking for it. I was told by a clown teacher I went to, Philippe Gaudier, way back a while ago in Paris, France, and he said, you know, if you think you're a clown, you're probably not one. It's kind of like that, you know, your friend who tries to tell a joke and is never funny, but then somebody says something and isn't trying to be funny, and that person is kind of like the clown. So I had something of the clown in me, said Philippe Gaudier, and I kind of went on to train with John Turner of Mumph and Smoot, horror clown fame, Canadian clown with a kind of pachinko style, which is mask making and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just really fell into it. I just find it's really fun. It's subversive. It's weird. You can really say things and try and get away with them. And I really just never stopped loving it. And now I've kind of turned my passion towards less towards performing and more towards producing and supporting artists and trying to find clowns and bring them together. And they're going to come together in Montreal next weekend.
And also find audiences who are going to get introduced to it or who love yeah. it to begin with.
Exactly.
So how does that feel to be, like, obviously there was a 2-year break, hard for so many smaller festivals to you know, put on anything of any degree, I think, without yeah. like an institutional kind of pre-existing kind of setup, right? Like, it was hard to not do anything, but at the same time, it would have been hard to do something. So how does that yeah. feel?
Well, I'm still dealing with the trauma. We're gonna laugh our way through it. And I think that's what this, like, meeting the moment was kind of our first impetus of the kind of like tagline of, you know, who knows where we're at right now, because right. it's clowns and it's worse than herding cats. We're all over the place. This, like, I feel like my life is like upside down. So that song was totally apropos. But honestly, we did do a 2020 kind of online experiment, and it kind of like bombed, or, you know, like we say in the clown world, like it kind of flopped. But it was good to just put money in the hands of artists at that time. We made some, and I mean, like, it's not the work of the artist that flopped. It's just we tried to experiment with pop-up videos, and there were supposed to be pop-up street performances as well. But at the last minute, I think it was like the day before we were going to put this together, we'd gotten our permits from different locations around town and so on, and we went to the red zone, and like we weren't even allowed to perform outside, so that component got wow. shut down. We did this digital thing. We tried to like put them on in a surprise way on Facebook, which meant that basically nobody was prepared to see them, and it was a disaster. We put it behind us. We're so glad to be back in person, and there were so many times that I thought, like, this, we can't do this. We're going to quit. And I think, like a lot of small organizations, we got to work on our, like, you know, organizing ourselves. We're a young company still, growing with a board of directors who are namely clowns. Mm-hmm. One of them who you know who Philippe Thibaudeau is.
Yes.
I know that. We'll get yes. to that later. But anyway, we have an awesome board, and I don't want to just name drop him, but like there are so many people that supported me and encouraged me to keep doing this, and this is why it's still happening, because of everybody going, you can't stop. And even though I still question that logic, I think that it is going to be worth it, and I'm so grateful for the community. So hopefully more and more audiences will start to come now. This is kind of our sixth year. So our fifth year was our pandemic flop, and now we're coming back for a sixth year. We've learned some things, and we've got a brand new venue as well. We're saying farewell to the beautiful, cozy Mainline Theater, who like nurtured and supported us for so many years mm-hmm. too. And now we're going to be at Le Jésus, which is in the heart of Quartier des Spectacles. We want to be, you know, a serious festival of clowns, if you will. But yeah.
As serious as clowns can be. I appreciate you letting us kind of go behind the scenes, but it, you know, because we sometimes don't get to see just how disappointing and challenging it can be, as you said, to herd cats, to do arts programming. That is Vanessa Rigaud, artistic director of the Festival des Clowns de Montréal, back for its sixth edition. We're going behind the scenes. And honestly, like you said, the last one was a bit of a flop, but the programming that you have now, you're not skipping a beat, because there's a little bit of everything, I think, yeah. for a little bit of something for everyone, from photo exhibits to performances in really kooky places. There's also going to be some serious content as well. Briefly, the photo exhibit about the history of clowning.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really small kind of photo exhibit that we've thrown together, because we wanted to kind of pay homage to who the performers that have come before us. And there's just, you know, part of the reason why there's this festival in this city specifically is because there are so many professional clowns that have been touring all over Europe, touring with Cirque du Soleil, who we all know, but other companies as well, all over the States and whatnot. And there's, of course, the National Circus School here, et cetera. So James Keelan, who is the husband of France and Côté, the two of them had a very successful career in with Cirque du Soleil, and they have lent us, you know, some of their files, and so we've printed out a bunch of photos. They're going to be on display, and then they'll be the subject of some of our kind of in between shows, cocktails, animated cocktails that we'll have. Philippe and Dolores Leonard animating and kind of giving us a quiz night and just making sure there's a lot of entertainment at all times, because when we do have a two-show night, there's a little bit of setup in between that we need to do in the theater. And it's just like, you know, a festival is really a place and a time to come together and to have the chance to talk, whether it's over a drink or over you know, some photos. We're trying to just give those opportunities for people to come ask questions and be a part of the discussions of what is clown, or taking it to another level of like, oh, did you know so-and-so or whatever it is. Everyone's welcome. And that's kind of the premise for the photo exhibit.
The next day, Friday, September 30th, it is the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. So a bit of a serious kind of event. It's like, aside from the actual performances, I wanted to learn more about Barry Belinsky.
For sure. Well, Barry is actually a newcomer to Montreal, and we have several connections, and I'm so glad he's a clown performer, but also a director and animator and filmmaker, as well as performer. He's coming to us from Edmonton, and he's of Cree and Métis and Ukrainian heritage, and he's eager to kind of just jump in and assemble some conversations, and so he kind of took this on. It's going to be a circle discussion with whoever is interested, and you know, it's less about, you know, how do we reconcile, but let's talk about performance and certainly about clown, and how we can, I guess, the questions that we're asking some of the people that are speaking, which include one performer, Hilary Weir from Rice Lake, Ontario, and Barry's performance partner, Bill Young, who's a drama therapist. So they're talking about what your connection is to the land when you make it, really like mm-hmm. centering Indigenous views on your creative process, and talking about that and using that as a starting point to open up and to talk together. So the title of the talk is called Clarity and Compassion, How to Do More Harm Than Good. And we will have a verbal French translator there as well. We want to make it accessible to everyone. It starts at 5 p.m. on Friday. It kind of kicks off our Friday night programming. And from there, we're just going to have a discussion, see where it leads us. And later that night, we have a kind of later show, which is really fun, by Pearl Harbor, who is Justin Miller's drag persona.
Oh, okay.
And anyways, there's so much going on. But
yeah.
You know, with the discussion, there's two discussions, one on Friday and one on Saturday.
And then there'll be performances we can catch through the weekend, because this goes until the 2nd of October.
Yeah,
until
absolutely.
Sunday. Okay.
I do want to plug, too, that we are kicking everything off on next Thursday, mm-hmm. in exactly a week from yep. now, the 29th, with an amazing cabaret. There's a dozen artists from New York, Spain, and a lot from Montreal who have the quirkiest acts that have been put together by director Kryn Hagland. It's emceed by Swazik and Marie-Hélène, who are a duo called Laurette and Arlette. They are musicians. They are such professionals, and they will have you rolling in your seats. We're asking people to dress up in eccentric gala attire.
Okay.
And you can get $10 off your ticket. But we're really trying to, like, launch the party with this fool's garden. So it's a garden theme. Whatever eccentric dress means to you is what the dress code actually means. And it's going to be such a party. We've
got
a
DJ, love it.
We've got acts. And, yeah, I'm sending you an invite, so you better be there.
Okay, awesome. All right. So that is going to kick off the Montreal Clown Festival. Vanessa, there's so much more available through the weekend. So we'll mention the website in just a second. I thank you so much for coming on to give us a really frank look at what it takes to run a festival and a passion project like this. But your passion does come through down the phone line. Okay. I really appreciate your time.
Right on. Thanks for having me on, Sarah.
That is Vanessa Rigo, Artistic Director of Le Festival des Clowns de Montréal. The sixth edition begins next Thursday, September 29th, with that event that she was talking about, where you can get $10 off if you show up in kind of gala costume, which is really sweet. Some of the other acts through the weekend include Empire Pagaille, Tupac Act, which is from Nunavik, Mark Gindig from New York, Pearl Harbor, as Vanessa mentioned, as well as one of my favorite clown performers, Philippe Thibodeau, who's from here but has toured all over the world with Cirque du Soleil. Such a fabulous performer, like obsessed with him. MTLClownFest.com for tickets and more information. You're listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We have just under 15 minutes left in the show. We're going to call up an old friend of mine, Daniel Caron. He missed my call last week because he fell asleep and didn't get the call to come on the show. But we said, hey, we'll make space for you this time around. He's got a really interesting concept coming up at Cafe Clio tomorrow. We'll get Daniel on the line in just a moment.
I bare my teeth. One saliva string. One tongue. Speak of the fight that comes from survival. It's from survival. Touch my children, and my teeth welcome your windpipe. Oh. Touch my children, and my teeth welcome your windpipe. Utter the name and be crushed by leg, going strong from holding up weight. By thigh that carries rocks, an urgent gait. I will hunch my shoulders and wait. Claws sharpened, teeth agape. Claws sharpened, teeth agape.
Welcome back to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are back live in studio at 3647 University. I'm your host, Sarah DeAy. The last conversation of the evening is a very old friend of mine. His name is Daniel Caron. He's a writer and comedian from this beautiful city of Montreal, has written for Just for Laughs, has performed in JFL's Home Ground Comedy Competition, and has performed outside of Montreal as well. He's got a very interesting concept that he'd like for you to check out tomorrow night at Cafe Clio. It is the inaugural edition of Stand Up the Game Show, and Daniel joins me on the phone. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We missed you last week.
I know. I am so embarrassed. I woke up last week bright and early, 9 o'clock. I was so excited. Every hour on the hour, I was looking at my phone, getting ready. I think, like a toddler, I think I tuckered myself out. I had to take a midday nap. I was so excited, and I completely missed it. I'm so embarrassed. But thank you for having me back.
Oh, my gosh, of course. This is the show of second chances, Daniel. It's something. But I also know you're a radio person. You have a show at the other campus radio station, CJLO. It's called Fireside Chats. Jack, our spoken word coordinator, is with me in studio, and she's doing. They are doing the heart signal right now. That's big.
Oh, wow.
When you put
That's
the two hands
lovely.
Together. Yeah.
Yes, and hopefully there's some pumping going on.
I guess there are no enemies in campus community radio. Okay, they're saying no. Okay. We like Daniel.
Well, look,
we are all about community.
So kind.
Fireside chat, Wednesday afternoons, is that right, at CJLO?
It's actually Advice by the Fireplace.
Advice by the Fireplace.
But it is a fireside chat. I bring on a comedian, we read advice questions.
Yeah.
And it's been going on for, it started before COVID and then mm-hmm. obviously had to stop for a while, and we're back in studio. I'm having such a blast. It's a lot of fun. I'd love to have you on one day.
I was just going to say that I love advice columns. I'm obsessed with them. And I also, CJLO used to be my old stomping grounds back at my J school days at the Loyola campus. So pencil me in, and Jack will probably want to come as well.
Wonderful.
They're
and
wooing in the
fall
corner.
Asleep. We'll sleep through the first
okay,
one.
Yeah, so Daniel, what would you do if you're, because with Upstage, behind the scenes, like if a guest isn't there, we can play music, I can literally just talk, because like I talk to a wall if I wanted to. It's not a big deal, because I usually have 3 to 4 guests, and it's not a problem. And we can always spend more time with another guest. But for you, having one comedian with you, and what if they fell asleep? Like, what do you do?
Well, I do have the questions themselves. So I think, luckily, it hasn't happened yet. But I think if the unthinkable happened, I would also just talk for an hour straight by myself, and it would be maybe unlistenable. But that's what I would do.
Well, you are a stand-up and a storyteller, so that is what you are trained to do. Tell me about why you've decided to make comedians face off against each other in a game show format.
Oh, this is very exciting. Stand Up, the game show. You know, I love improv. I love stand up. I love storytelling, sketch. I love all forms of comedy. And I kind of just wanted a way to force them all together into one strange show where we can be loose and have fun, but also there's rules and games and challenges and tasks. I'm trying to just, it's a real kitchen sink show.
Mm-hmm.
I have 4 of my favorite comedians who I think are perfectly adapted for this. They're great stand-ups, but they're quick thinkers, light on their feet. I'm so excited. I can't tell you. I really want people to come to this. This is the thing I'm most excited for. Honestly, we talked about my radio show. I could care less about that thing compared to this. So I want people to come to this so bad.
This is comedian Daniel Caron on the line, and his new show is called Stand Up the Game Show. And the 4 comedians you mentioned, Lucy Gervais, Amanda McQueen, Sean Stenhouse, and Chris Vendito. So this is tomorrow night at Cafe Clio. Tickets are $10, which is sweet. So what kind of competitions are you going to put Lucy, Amanda, Sean, and Chris through? Like, give me a sample of one of the challenges.
Well, here's a challenge that I think no one's excited for. I love terrible impressions. I love impressions when somebody doesn't know they have to do that impression and it sprung on them. So that's going to be the case. I'm going to give these comedians, a bunch of famous stand-up comedians, to do impressions of, and they're going to have to get somebody else to guess who the heck they are trying to be. And it's just delightful for me. I love bad impressions. There's a reason to do it, because it's in the guise of stand-up comedy. We're going to talk about stand-up comedy history. But really, it's just an excuse to basically laugh at my friend.
Well, isn't that really just the dream? Did Lucy, Amanda, Sean, and Chris, did they agree immediately when you approached them, or were they tentative?
They basically agreed. The show is tomorrow. They're not exactly sure what they're in for. I've given them a little bit of information, but I'm trying to keep it vague. I want it to be surprising. I want them to be terrified, like I am always when I put on a show.
How does it feel for you to be kind of the mastermind here and not just, you know, someone waiting to go and do their 3 minutes, 5 minutes, and then get off stage? Because you're kind of calling the shots here.
That's an excellent question. I'm a little scared. I'm hoping this actually makes sense. You know, I've talked to a few people. I've bounced these ideas off of people, but I have no idea if this is going to be a great show. I mean, honestly, this is everything I've always wanted. I think this is the show I've always wanted to put on, and I'm just hoping other people also like the thing that I like.
Well, you're going to...
So far, they haven't.
You're going to find out in just over 24 hours what their reaction is going to be.
I'm so excited. With these four comedians, you can't go wrong, honestly.
And
bulletproof.
Inaugural edition, I hope there will be another one to come through. Like, is that the plan to bring this back maybe regularly?
Yes, hopefully. I mean, Cafe Cleopatra's been very nice to us. And honestly, if we get people out, we'll have another one. So only you, I'm pointing right now, even though this is the radio, only you can determine if there's a second one, listener.
Daniel Caron, the man behind Stand Up the Game Show, also a comedian and storyteller and radio host. What time can we catch Advice by the Fireplace on Wednesdays at CJLO 1690?
It is 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., but we then put it on Spotify and all over the internet a few days later.
Awesome. Can't wait to check it out. And we'll see you at Cafe Cleo tomorrow night so we can get tickets at the door.
Yes, tickets at the door and Eventbrite. But I think there's an extra surcharge. Just come to the door and I'll shake your hand.
Sounds awesome. Daniel, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for letting me do this again. Maybe I should have fallen asleep again, but I can't. Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful.
You're a delightful person, Daniel. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That's Daniel Caron, a comedian, storyteller. He'll be at Cafe Cleo, so that's on St. Laurent, the main, below St. Catherine Street. Go to the second floor, $10 for the show. It's happening in the evening. Head to eventbrite.com. I just realized I don't have the time for the show. I'm going to say 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And the comedians will be performing Lucy Gervais, Amanda McQueen, Sean Stenhouse, and Chris Vendito. The format is a game show, and he's devised different challenges for these comedians, comedy-themed challenge, including, as he mentioned, bad impressions. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Stand Up the Game Show tomorrow night, September 23rd. You've been listening to Upstage on CKUT 90.3 FM and at CKUT.ca. We are live once more. You are headed into the weekend. I want to do a shout out for an amazing show that we didn't get a chance to talk about here, but it is happening at the Centaur, September 23rd and the 24th, centaurtheater.com. Backstage at Carnegie Hall, an opera about racism and the election. Electric guitar. This is a show with Canadian roots. Basically, we go backstage at Carnegie Hall, December 1939, and it explores racism through the eyes of legendary jazz guitarist Charlie Christian. He is getting ready to perform with the Benny Goodman Sextet. It's an absolutely revolutionary show, but we go behind the scenes to find out about that. He has an anxiety attack before he actually goes on stage, and he goes time traveling in his mind before that performance. Really looks so powerful. CentaurTheater.com for tickets. That is tomorrow night and Saturday. English with French and English Sir titles. You have been listening to Upstage again on CKUT 90.3 FM live. I'm your host, Sarah Day. A very big thank you to my guests this past hour, Rosa Ruby Kagan, Aisha, Sasha, John, Vanessa Rigo, and Daniel Caron. You can hear past episodes of Upstage at CKUT.ca under the archives. Thank you to Jack Soler, spoken word coordinator, for making sure we get to air, and also Brian Isaac, my amazing technical person, hitting all the right buttons this evening. I'm Sarah Day. I'll speak with you next time on Upstage next Thursday. Have fun, stay safe. Up next is Grey Matters with my good friend Fortner Anderson.
Chez Élections Québec, on note que les gens votent de moins en moins. Alors pour inverser la tendance, on fait l'inverse de ce qu'on ferait normalement. Normalement, on aurait fait un beau grand discours réfléchi sur l'importance de la démocratie. Mais pour faire l'inverse, on va vous dire un tout petit mot, pas du tout réfléchi, qui n'a pas rapport avec la démocratie. Maringouin. Le 3 octobre, on inverse la tendance. Tout le monde vote. Un message d'Élections Québec.
Good evening and welcome to the September 22nd edition of Grey Matters. Tonight on the show we have a lecture entitled Our Planetary Existential Crisis. It was delivered in Kirkland, Washington, May 11th of this year. The lecturer is David Corton. He's a philosopher and visionary. For several decades, he was an insider in the development establishment. He worked for the Ford Foundation and USAID and taught at the Harvard School of Business. Having severed his ties to the past, today he is a leading voice for economic and social justice. He is co-founder of Yes Magazine and author of When Corporations Rule the World, Agenda for a New Economy, and Change the Story, Change the Future. So here's tonight's lecture, Our Planetary Existential Crisis, by David Corton, this week's edition of Gray Matters.
There is no easy path to a healthy living.